Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show on 6:30 every evening, Monday through Friday, and sometimes at 11 o'clock on Saturday and Sunday. And this show is, I will tell you a little about my background and where I'm coming from in this show. This is a show for the politically incorrect. We're not concerned. We are concerned with critical thinking. We are concerned with gaining truth and facts and not with media hype, media lies, and media falsehoods. We reject that kind of thinking because it isn't thinking at all. It's a waste of your intellect to even think about these people and what they print in the media and say to people. The second thing is that I'm a Christian, and I adhere to the historical Christian faith as contained in the Apostles' Creed, Nicene Creed, and Athanasian Creed. I also adhere to the full authority of Holy Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation. And when I have the time, I read a book such as C.S. Lewis or John Bunyan or Hilaire Belloc or any other great Christian writer, including G.K. Chesterton, St. Augustine, St. Thomas Aquinas, and St. Paul, the greatest religious thinker that ever lived. And I also run a podcast show and a blog talk radio show, and these shows are listened to by many people, visitors from many countries, including Saudi Arabia and Muslim countries, as well as 77 countries and over 4,000 people visit my podcast show, and these shows have a Christian orientation. I also am a writer. I've written 10 books, and I have written three Christian books, four Christian books, and the rest legal. And as well, I will be preparing four books in the future, three Christian and one legal. And I have printed many articles on major journals all over the world, and I'm read all over the world and listened to. I also have written over 600 blogs, and these are visited by many people from many countries, including Muslim countries in China. And, of course, these often have a biblical Christian orientation, but they are read by non-Christians and non-Christian societies quite extensively. Next, I've written three major journal articles, the Syracuse Law Review, an article on criminal procedure, and which has been bought by many countries, universities throughout the world, in Europe and Asia and North America and the United States, including the State Department and the United States Supreme Court. I've also written a book, an article on Academicus, an international journal of scientific journal, which is concerned with sex discrimination and sexual orientation discrimination. And this has been bought by many countries, universities in many countries throughout the world, including, of course, the State Department and universities extensively in Germany and Europe and Switzerland and et cetera. I also have written recently an extensive article on the education system and its failure in the United States. Again, it has been bought by the State Department and many European and American libraries. This show has certain topics we handle. One is literature. We're concerned with English and American literature. Second, we're concerned with biblical thought and Christian thought. And third, we're concerned with current events and political ideas. We do not reject anybody. Everybody's welcome on this show, whatever their views, whatever their thoughts. Everyone is welcome and allowed to be heard and their views listened to. Tonight I'm going to talk about something that is a little bit controversial, and that is the matter of contraception. The other day I had a chance to read an article, an op-ed piece in the New York Times by Maureen Dowd, a New York Times columnist who I very much admire and like to read, and she objects to the position of the Roman Catholic Church concerning contraception. She begins by stating that her parents were devout Catholics and goes on to state and note her disapproval of the Catholic Church leaders fighting President Obama's attempt to get insurance companies for contraception for women who work or go to college at Catholic institutions. So she notes her disapproval of the Catholic Church's leaders fighting at that time President Obama's attempt to get insurance coverage for contraception for women who work or go to college at a Catholic institution. Ms. Dowd argues and insists that the Church's position constitute some sort of war on women and a way of maintaining women's lower role and caste in the Church. She believes the Roman Catholic Church is obsessed with sex in the wrong ways. She says the bishop and Vatican care passionately about putting women in chastity belts, yet are unconcerned about sexual abuse by a priest. So Ms. Dowd is arguing against the Church's position about contraception, and that she says it constitutes barring contraception, that it constitutes some sort of war on women and way of maintaining women's lower role and caste in the Church. She believes the Roman Catholic Church is obsessed with sex in the wrong way. I think she's mistaken and erroneous in her thinking. She believes the Roman Catholic Church to be anti-female and to be conducting some sort of backward prejudicial war by men against women. However, the reality is the issue of free abortion on demand and contraception is about human life. For a Christian, all life and all human life and all human beings that were ever born or ever existed and whoever will come into being are created by God and the image of Christ. The Church is not anti-female, is not conducting some prejudicial war by men against women. The issue of contraception and abortion is concerned with human life. But for a Christian, sad to say, and it's the reality of our faith, that all life and all human life and all human beings that were ever born or ever existed, whoever will come into being, are created by God and the image of Christ. So the Christ and his Church and the Catholic Church conduct no war against any sex, men or women, but place ultimate and eternal value in every person, old, handicapped, about to be born, dying, and about to come into the world to life. The Church and Christ places eternal value, I repeat, on every person, old, handicapped, about to be born, dying, and about to come into the world. I suggest that Ms. Dowd and the New York Times look at the cross, which we have an image of a God dying and suffering for all mankind out of his love. The position of the Catholic Church and of the believing Christian is not concerned with shallow feminist politics, but with who we are as human beings, whatever we may be, and who we are capable of ultimately becoming. The Church is concerned with life, not shallow feminist politics, but who we are as human beings, whoever we may be, and who are we capable of ultimately becoming. And this includes a child in the womb or about to be born and preventive of contraception. If Ms. Dowd objects to the position of the Catholic Church in this case, protective of all life, I ask her to consider the value she attaches to herself and her own life. Ms. Dowd says that abortion and contraception are feminist issues. The Catholic Church, in fact, is not concerned with sex and obsessed with sex, but with the sanctity and worth of all human race, human life, irrespective of race, sex, class, social status, or age. The Catholic Church is not concerned with sex or obsessed with it, as Ms. Dowd argues, but their position and concern is with the sanctity and worth of all human life, irrespective of race, sex, clime, class, social status, or age. For the Catholic Church, equal value is attached to both the terminally ill, about to leave this world, and to the infant about to be born. The Church places ultimate eternal value on the terminally ill, about to die, and on the infant about to be born. And in fact, there is no difference in the Church's position between male and female, but the difference in Ms. Dowd's perspective and in the perspective of the Catholic Church, where we see the value to be attached to all human beings in their essential personhood. So whether the object is the abortion or contraception, The issue for the church is life and the value of that life in there as an eternal and saved person. I'd like to offer another reason for the position of the Roman Catholic Church concerning contraception. And contraception is an issue of blocking life. The church's position is all life is of value. It should not be blocked. But the other issue is contraception, in some sense, if freely distributed and given to all comers, can result in promiscuous sexual conduct. That could be the effect of it. The position of the church is that sexual activity should be confined on a moral and theological basis to the marriage bond. And when the use of contraception is encouraged, sex as an act of love and connected with the creation of a family becomes nothing more than a means of selfish sexual pleasure. It is a position of the Roman Catholic Church, rightly or wrongly, that sex should occur in the love and nurturing bond of the family and marriage. So the issue, second reason to object to the secular society's view of contraception is that if freely distributed and given, can result in promiscuous sexual conduct. And the position of the church is that sexual activity should be confined on a moral and theological basis to the marriage bond. When the use of contraception is encouraged as an act of love and concerned with the creation of a family, when the use of contraception is encouraged, sex as an act of love and connected with the creation of a family becomes nothing more than a means of selfish sexual pleasure. It is the position of the Roman Catholic Church that sex should occur in the bond of the family and marriage. So, I have to say that contraception and the church is opposed to it stem from the value the church attaches to life about to become in being and about to come into life, and the equal value to the terminally ill, as well as a child whose life is being blocked by the contraception. Contraception and the use of contraception strike at the institution of marriage and offer, ultimately, as a substitute, free, promiscuous sexual activity whose sole object is selfish sexual pleasure. Why does the church oppose contraception? Because of the value it attaches to any life, whether coming into being or taken from the womb by an abortion. And the contraception, again, the church's issue is it can result in promiscuous sexual conduct. And the church believes correctly that sexual activity should be confined on a moral and theological basis to the marriage bond. When the use of contraception is encouraged, sex as an act of love and connected with the creation of a family becomes nothing more than an agent of selfish sexual pleasure. It is the position of the Roman Catholic Church, rightly or wrongly, that sex should occur in the love and nurturing bond of the family and marriage. Contraception and the use of contraception strike at the institution of marriage and substitute free promiscuous activity whose sole object is selfish sexual pleasure. I hope you've enjoyed this little talk tonight. You can find it in Chapter 10 on pages 26 and 27 of my book, Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy, in which I define the reasons for the Church's opposition to contraception, which is the value the Church attaches to the eternal value the Church attaches to all life, and also that sexual activity should not be result in this promiscuity, but should be confined to the institution of marriage, where an act of love occurs and results in the creation of a family. And a contraceptive strike at the institution of marriage and substitute free promiscuous sexual activity whose sole object is selfish sexual pleasure. That's the church's position. It's a good position. It's a valid position. It's the right position. And I suggest you look at this chapter in my book, Chapter 10, pages 26 and 27 of Essays on Faith, Politics, Culture, and Philosophy. And please do look into this and be informed, and don't be fooled by the media on this issue, as often occurs. Thank you very much. Good night.